WFAE streaming is sponsored by Corporate Information Technologies, a local IT company assisting business and taking a proactive approach to technology. CIT, let us show you how good IT can be. corp-infotech.com.
This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. Battling clutter can be a challenge for even the neatest of us. We all face a barrage of new material coming into our homes and offices every day, and we have to decide what to keep, where to keep it, and what to throw away. Well, now, we have a new kind of clutter challenge, digital clutter. Most of us have thousands of files, documents, photos, music, plus emails from multiple accounts clogging up our hard drives and living out there in the cloud someplace. Organizing all of this so that we have ready access to it takes time and effort, and not doing so can be costly. Experts say people waste 1 to 3 hours a day searching for items because of disorganization, that getting rid of clutter would eliminate 40% of housework and save office workers several hours each week. I'm actually astounded by these figures. We'll get to the bottom of this in a second. So as we start this new year, let's get organized, and we'll do that with the help of some experts. Angie Mattson is the Chief Efficiency Officer for Your Organized Guide, Inc., an author and speaker. She's also a small business systems organization and productivity expert, and she looks very neat this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Tim Hatton is president of Hatton Tech, a consultancy and IT firm which brings enterprise-level expertise to Charlotte's small and medium business. I can tell he's organized, but it's all on the inside. Welcome.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. And Ann Stepp is an organizer for Simplicity, specializing in residential organization, something she sees as life-changing work for you or for the person you're working with.
Hopefully for everyone involved.
Well, thank you for joining us, too.
Thank you.
Now, as I said, for some, clutter has always been a problem. I won't name names, but he's sitting in front of you. I'm going to ask, is it more of one today? Because not only do we have physical clutter that we have to worry about, but we do have these devices and these networks that we belong to, these social networks and email services that we belong to. Has it become more of a problem because of that, or has that taken some of the paper and clutter off our desks?
I think it's made it worse.
Really?
I think people have so much more coming at them now at a faster rate that we're going to see, as we're already seeing, a different generation dealing with this type of clutter as well. And now people will print out and off their emails and papers and such. So I feel like it's added to the paper clutter that we see in homes, and now there's this new digital clutter. I think it's made it much worse.
And you deal with businesses, and you're not really a clutter expert, Tim. You don't really, but people do have to know how to organize their computer world.
Absolutely.
Do you find in these small and medium businesses that you deal with that a lot of people have no clue how to do that?
I would say that's a fair assessment.
Yeah. I can tell by your facial expression that there's a story behind those words.
There,
or two or three.
Well, yes. People tend to hang on to everything. I think, honestly, the size of hard drives that are coming in systems today make it much easier to keep everything.
And isn't that the point?
Well, it is. Yeah, it is. Okay. But it doesn't necessarily make things easier.
Ah, you're going.
The organizers are shaking their heads.
Yeah, because, you know, when you get a terabyte hard – I remember my first hard drive. I think it was 20 megs. And I thought, how will I ever fill this up? And now they're a terabyte or 2 terabytes. And sometimes you have two terabyte drives in your computer. Plus, the cloud has unlimited storage out there.
Right.
But you're saying that's not a good thing. Just hanging on to everything. Why? Why is that bad if you've got space for it? Because hard drives are very small. What difference does it make?
So one of the things that I tell my clients over and over and over is, just because we can keep it all, why does that mean that we should? And so the thing that I teach them is to be discerning. So Anne talked about in the beginning where we are overwhelmed with information. And I think all of these digital devices that we have are really overwhelming us with information. So we must become discerning about what we let into our lives, or it will swamp us, and we will have stress over stress over stress.
So it's not just the physical nature of the clutter. It's the fact that you have all these emails. Like I have a phone, a smartphone,
sure,
on which I have two email accounts. I don't have a, I have four email accounts in my
of
world.
Of course you do.
But I only have two on my phone because I don't want the other two intruding on me on my phone. But that's a decision that I have made.
Consciously. Yes.
And I have to keep track of it. And I find myself deleting emails, both on the computer and on the phone. Otherwise, they just build up forever on the phone. And I'm assuming that at some point, the phone will say, no more, stop, right? I mean, it will do that, won't it?
It could eventually.
So you have to kind of keep it, your inbox clean. Where does the time for all this come from?
Well, you have to make it.
Yeah.
But part of that, the key to that is setting up for our clients, and I'm sure in businesses as well, a schedule, a time to check your email and a routine. And just like you schedule anything else, you want to build into your day the time to check and clear out emails. And you don't necessarily want to scan your emails. If you're looking at an email, you want it to be one that you're going to take action on, because if not, it becomes a time waster.
Now, we've done shows on organization and productivity in the past, and one of the things that people have said about physical paper on your desk is don't touch the paper more than once.
Right.
You open the envelope, you read it, you act on it, or you put it in a pile that gets thrown away.
Mm-hmm.
Is the same true electronically?
I believe it is. I teach people how to manage their email in 5 steps, and it's creating a habit around getting into your email and doing very specific things with it, rather than letting email drive what you're doing all day long.
Mm-hmm.
Most people get in their email boxes and suddenly it's telling them what to do. It's telling them how to work, when to work, why to work, whereas I think it should go the other way. You should already know what your priorities are and things you need to do. An email is simply a tool.
And, of course, Outlook, if you use Outlook as your email client, you can make it so that even if it's not open in front of you and you're working on something else, it will notify you when something new has come in. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Turn off the beeps. Turn off the ghost reminders.
But don't people expect you to take action immediately? I mean, if they send you an email, they need a response now.
And I think that's where you can set the standard. We're very big in creating a realistic expectation with our clients on what we can and can't accomplish with them with their help. I think people can take that into their lives across the board, especially with email. The reason it sort of feeds off each other, it feeds off itself. We expect that quick response, and so we're giving it, and then they want it, and so it just keeps feeding off itself. If we weren't setting that standard, then it wouldn't be there.
Your company, Simplicity, says that organization is about how a space functions, not how it looks.
Right.
That made me very happy.
because
if you saw my desk, you would think, how does he ever get anything done?
Right.
I know where everything is.
Right.
They're not even in stacks. I got, pardon the expression, crap everywhere. but I know where it is, and I know how to get my hands on it. Now, is that a bad thing?
Well, if it's working for you, that's one thing.
It just saves time.
Well, could we come in and buy you more time with a different system? Probably.
Uh-huh.
Probably. But it would need to be a system that worked for you.
Is that the true? That's true of all three of you. And your expertise, Tim, I know, is and we'll get into this inside the computer stuff.
Sure.
But it's systems, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
It's all systems.
Yes.
Are there things about computers and how they work and how they're organized that could help us understand the importance of systems in the analog world?
Absolutely. All the way down to the file system of Windows is a system built for organization, a structure of files and folders. It was meant to be organized.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Do people see it that way, or why is that a mystery? Because it looks just like a file cabinet to me.
I think it's a mystery because it's easy for things to end up in the wrong categories. People get in a hurry when they're working on their computer. They're downloading some file. They think, I'll just put that on my desktop. I'll deal with that later. Mm-hmm. And we get straight into violating organizational principles, which would say try to deal with that thing only one time.
Mm-hmm. Decluttering. Are there practical solutions to this?
Absolutely.
To decluttering. Is it a matter of throwing everything away and starting fresh, or is it a matter of getting things organized and then just finding a way to stay?
You know, you can do a thing where you depending on how long, if you have a folder full of emails that have gone unanswered and untouched for so long that you can send out to your folks in your address box, you know, I'm going to be deleting my email folders for these correspondents, and if you need to touch base with me on something new, please do so. So you kind of start clean. That's pretty
radical.
So that's one option. But you know, if you've got 3,000 emails, maybe that's the road you need to take. Another way to do it is just to break things down into small, winnable approach and go one by one and start small, win big.
Is being organized and being neat and having a pretty much empty desk or a very organized computer with an empty desktop, is that synonymous with being productive or being creative? Or is that just being neat? In other words, can you be creative and productive and not be organized?
I think you can be, but my question always is, if we did get you organized, how much more productive, how much more creative
Do we know that's true? Do we know that being more organized leads to greater productivity and or greater creativity? Do we know that? Is there empirical evidence to say that that's the case?
I would say so, just in what we've
I'm
seen.
I'm fighting
and dealt
you.
With.
You understand?
Sure,
that,
bring it on. Let's go. I love to defend this industry. What we have found, and when we've worked with a client from start to finish in any sort of room, their whole house or just, you know, a craft room. We were talking crafts earlier. God love the crafters. That I have never worked with a client that has not gone through this process of sorting and purging and organizing that has ever said, I wish I hadn't done that. They have all said, why didn't I do this sooner? What it does is it frees up space within their home, and for someone who's creative, it's going to free up space for that creativity to flow. Clutter is like life plaque, and when you have life plaque, you're going to have a heart attack just like you would in your arteries.
But doesn't it take away the time that you could use to be productive or creative because you're busy straightening up?
Well, oh, no, the time you invest in decluttering and clearing things out is going to come back to you tenfold, like you spoke of efficiency.
Yeah.
How so?
Yeah. So the act of getting organized can take some time. I mean, it is an investment in time and resources and attention and energy. Once you develop the habits, it is so easy to stay organized.
Because, you know, I'm much more organized on my computer than I am in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I feel the need to be organized. I want my little baby to be neat inside. So I spent some time at the end of the year clearing out some files and going through and finding redundant things and getting rid of them.
Mm.
And I got bored. And so I stopped halfway through. What's the secret, Tim?
The secret for me is knowing that certain things have to stay organized or I will not be able to function.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I agree with Anne that there's a huge benefit into keeping certain things organized. I get a lot of quotations from Dell, and they always come in from the same person, and they always come in with a generic subject. If I have to go back later and search for a quote for a specific customer, it is impossible to find unless I've organized it because there's too many emails that look the same.
Right.
Google makes searching a breeze, makes it easy to search through 15,000 emails to find
you
the
mean
one
Gmail does it?
Gmail.
Yeah.
And Google Apps for Business.
Okay.
And they provide some great tools, but it still can't help me identify which one of these quotes was for which specific customer.
So you put them in folders?
I do. I organize them. Google prefers to call them labels, but right. I label the emails.
And I think people who use Outlook don't know that you can actually retitle an email.
That's true.
When it comes in. You can actually go in and change the title of it so you can say specifically what it was about 5 years from now. We have to take a break. We're coming back with more on getting organized and being decluttered in your personal and digital lives in a second. Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Community Blood Center of the Carolinas, blood supplier to 21 regional hospitals and thousands of local patients. Every drop stays here, saving local lives. Info about sponsoring a drive at cbcc.us. U.S. Well, here's a term you may not have heard yet, venture philanthropy. It's a new way of investing, and in Charlotte, a group is formed to put it into practice. They leverage their expertise, their creativity, their time, and financial resources to develop and support what they call promising social initiatives. And in the time they've been together, they say they've seen some remarkable results. So we'll find out more about Social Venture Partners and their Seed 20 program tomorrow at 9.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, many predicted that even the horrific events at Sandy Hook Elementary School would fail to spur new action on gun control. Nearly a month later, a look at prospects for change.
Join the Diane Rehm Show this morning from 10 to noon after Charlotte Talks on 90.7 WFAE, Charlotte's NPR news source.
It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about cluttering and decluttering and organization, both analog and digitally, with Ann Stepp, an organizer for Simplicity, Angie Mattson, Chief Efficiency Officer for Your Organized Guide, which we'll talk about, Tim Hatton, President of Hatton Tech. He specializes in computers. We've got a bunch of people wanting to talk about this on Facebook and digitally here, so let's talk about it on Facebook. Scott says, periodically I have to grant myself digital forgiveness and just clear out the wads of unorganized pictures, links, stories, and other detritus that accumulate and make my desktop look a home for wayward icons. If I haven't looked at like a piece of a news piece in 6 months, it's obviously not important enough to keep around. Talk to me about what should be on the desktop of a computer, whether it's an Apple or whether it's a PC.
My philosophy is that current projects belong on the desktop. If I am actively working on something, it is a very easy place to go to find the files that all pertain to that project. My organizer partners here might disagree with me that it would be better to build the structure ahead of time and put the things where they belong, but I think we do use our
desktop.
What
else is on your desktop?
Mostly just icons to programs, the things that I access frequently.
Now, do Apple computers work the same way as the, in that respect as PCs?
They do.
Okay, so you can put stuff on your desktop in Apple.
And
what about Windows 8, which doesn't seem to have a desktop? It has like 13 desktops.
It does. I think Windows 8 is going to be a learning experience for everybody.
They
are really changing things up.
Blake on Facebook says, I have found Dropbox is very helpful. It creates one folder for all my useful and current files that I can access on multiple devices. Absolutely agree with that, but it too needs to be organized, doesn't it?
It sure does.
It's just like the file system on your computer. It needs to be organized. Are cloud services like Dropbox, and there are others, not just them, how secure are they, and how do we know? Because Dropbox is free for the most part. How do we know it's going to be there next week, and we haven't lost all of our files?
Dropbox is probably one of the most well-established cloud services in the industry. So I think the chances of Dropbox being around are very good.
Yeah, but why? How do they make any money? It's free.
I think they get people hooked with a small amount of free storage, but there's a lot of people that burn that up very quickly. Sharing photos with family members or using it for business purposes, and they're buying, you know.
But don't the files really don't the files really live on your computer in Dropbox? I mean, they're in the cloud, but don't they also exist on your computer?
They do. Some people would say that's the negative of Dropbox, is that if you use it, it takes up the equal amount of space on every computer.
Well, that's how it stays synchronized. I would seem to me that's how it stays safe. If Dropbox goes out of business, the files still live.
And that is true. And if you disconnect a computer from Dropbox, those files remain on that computer. They are not automatically deleted.
Okay. Ed, on Facebook, I have learned that three things account for disorganization in the workplace. Incompetence, laziness — I better quit right now — or an intentional underhanded distraction designed to mislead people for a variety of reasons. Talk to me about this, organization experts here, because I know that your company does a tour, an on-site tour of your client's home or office. I'm sure, Angie, when you get involved with a new client, you go to see what the situation is before you make recommendations.
Yes.
What are the underlying causes of disorganization? What have you found those to be?
I have found from my clients is they've simply never been taught how to be organized. They've never been taught how to use their email. Sometimes there is a little bit of posturing going on, job security. I don't want you to know what I'm doing and what I have. But generally, I think people just have never learned the basic principles of when you start with a new client, create a physical folder, create an electronic folder, create an email folder so that you know where things need to go all the time.
And isn't that could the same be said of the analog world, that people go into these jobs with little to no training in some cases at all,
right,
or little to no training on the secretarial aspects of this, because we used to have secretaries that did all this, but when they went away, no one said, okay, now here's what secretaries did.
That's right.
What they did was a mystery.
Yes.
So when you teach people these things, what's their reaction?
A lot of the number one thing, there's two things that are kind of front runners on what I feel leads to disorganization in the home, on what
okay.
we see.
Yep.
Time. Mm-hmm. People are doing too much. And the last thing that they kind of get to are some home items as far as organizationally speaking. And lack of systems because they have not been taught. So it's sort of these things all working together, but also kind of working against the person.
But if you're neat in the house, are you likely to be neat in the office or vice versa? Or on your computer, if you're a neatnik in the kitchen and you have a computer, would your computer be as neat as your kitchen?
Possibly. A lot of people might save it for one place. They might be very structured at work, but then they just let it all hang out at home.
Mm-hmm.
Or vice versa. So that I couldn't say yes or no to that one. I think it depends on the individual.
But do the same principles apply when you're trying to either declutter or lead an ongoing organized life? The same principles apply everywhere.
They do. Once you learn how to be organized, how to filter information that comes at you, where to put things, you can transfer that to your home skills as well.
Because I watched a couple of your videos on your website, and you go into just basic things, I guess, to capture our attention and make us call you.
Yes.
and you talk about boxes, bins, and bags on one of those videos, which obviously I guess could be – applied.
They're called folders on your computer.
But in the analog world, you have to have a physical place to put things, and you're suggesting boxes, bins, and bags. That sounds pretty old-fashioned to me.
It can be. A lot of people still really want paper. Mm-hmm. There are a few companies out there who have gone paperless. There are very few homes who have even thought about going paperless. And so we create all this paper, and some of it we want to keep. And so where do we keep it? We contain it. We contain it in a physical folder. We find a bin or a box that we can put a nice label on and store it away so we know exactly what's in the bin or box, and we can go and retrieve it when we're ready to look at it again.
When you're talking about getting back to computers, because this is a lot about digital today, but when you talk about organizing a computer and creating these file structures, and how many people don't do that? I mean, how many people do you find really don't get it, never taught it, don't understand it, and just don't do it versus they do it but they don't keep up with it?
I think a lot of people, again, just don't have the skill set. I think that's why there are people in our industries that are so valuable, because we have different components of that skill set, and we enjoy the teaching aspect of our jobs, going in and teaching how to pull a file, create different email folders to make you more efficient, to keep you on task, to set up a plan, to be able to work through things. So a lot of it is education.
We've been talking about email a lot because we're inundated by it, and it comes in hourly, moment by moment.
Yeah.
And we have to keep track. And some businesses have to keep it all forever. If you're an attorney or in the government, you've got to keep it all somehow, somewhere. But it's not just email, is it? It's all kinds of things.
No. They're required to keep – I think law firms are required to keep everything for 7 years.
Yeah.
Hmm. And where do you keep it? You don't keep it on your hard drive all that time, because your hard drive is liable to go away at any minute.
Right. Well, there are servers. Servers are
just hard drives.
They are just hard drives. That's right. But they are centrally located. And what I have noticed is that servers tend to stay a little more organized than people's own desktops. And I think
is that because an IT guy is in charge of them?
Actually, not really. The people in the office do more of placing the files and keeping the files organized.
And why are they more organized than the individual computers would be?
Usually because when people came to work for that business, those folder structures already existed. They realized that each client has their own folder. Architects tend to be very good at this. When they are all working on a specific project, they know that their teammates depend on them to store architectural plans and drawings according to the project number, mm-hmm. and those have to stay organized.
Mm. So when you're talking about archiving and keeping things that you need to keep, whether they're emails or whether they're documents, that Word documents, is there a rule of thumb on what to do with them to get them off your computer, where to put them, how to organize them, how to be able to find the physical hard drive or device that or cloud location? Because some people use if you want to use the cloud free, you got to put things in one. You got to put things on iCloud. And you got to put things on whatever Microsoft's version of it is, and you got to put things in Dropbox. And you move them around, so you get all these little bits and pieces of free storage.
Sure.
How do you keep track of it all?
Well, there are other competing services out there for the cloud that will allow you to synchronize whatever folder you want. That don't require you to put everything into a specific folder. Another popular service called SugarSync would allow you to pick any folder on your computer to back up mm-hmm. instead of using just one like Dropbox.
Mm-hmm.
And there are similar products that are designed for businesses that do the same thing.
Are you finding that, the average business person doesn't keep up with this? The average business person doesn't subscribe to PC Magazine and read it cover to cover, or PC World or Mac World or whatever it is. The average person doesn't do that. So how do they know about these things? How do they know how they work, that they exist, which one is better than the other for their purposes? How do you know?
That's my job. That's exactly what we do for many of our customers. We help them evaluate which service is going to be best, and there is not one answer to that question. Businesses operate very differently, and there might be a unique solution for each one.
And is that part of the digital clutter problem, that the digital world is moving so quickly and changing so rapidly that the average it's a full-time job to keep up with it?
It is, because people end up with a Dropbox account and a SugarSync account and a SpiderOak account.
Is that a bad thing? So I've never heard of them before. I'll write that down. Is that a bad thing?
It gets confusing. I think it adds to the clutter. Somebody like me, I have to do work for my customers. I have to evaluate these products. I think it's normal for me to have access to all of these different services.
Mm-hmm.
But I do not think that most people would benefit from having one of every single cloud account that's out there.
I know that the two of you, Ann and Angie, work on a lot of different things, not just digital stuff, but
right.
a lot of physical stuff. But does the digital stuff come up in your lives, and do you know about all these different services?
Not the last two we mentioned, but we do use Dropbox for simplicity.
Mm-hmm.
And we've found great success with our team and our clients, and because we have multiple organizers working on one project, we can all access that organizational plan that we've put together for the project. So going in, my team members can look at it and know when we get there, we're going to go from the kitchen, then to the den, then to the playroom, and they can see the notes made. So that's how it's helped us communicate with each other.
And not to push one piece of software over another piece of software, but isn't that what one of the advantages of Google Docs over perhaps the traditional desktop office products that sit in a computer someplace is that teams can mm-hmm. collaborate on the same document at the same time.
Absolutely. Google Docs, the collaboration features there are amazing. We use it quite frequently at Hatton Tech to organize an email migration. And so everybody knows what their responsibility is. We have notes about if a specific computer had a problem. We can all be logged into the same document at the same time from different places, and we can see each other represented under a specific color.
Hmm. That would be confusing unto itself. Put your headphones on for a second. We'll take a couple of calls here because Mike in Charlotte's been holding on because he has something to say about my philosophy, I think. Mike, go ahead.
Good morning, guys. I'd like to make a case for clutter.
All right, bring it.
Let's go.
I'm a designer, and I like having things in spontaneous places because that spurs my creativity. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, I'd love to be efficient and make myself more productive that pays the bills, but if I'm not creative in a spontaneous way, like many artists and designers are, then I'm just sort of churning out the same stuff that everybody else is. So being messy and being spontaneous, having files in places, putting all of my work and sketches on the wall and allowing them to surround me and be messy allows me to engage them in different ways than a file tree or one entrance point or forgive me, an efficient way. So I just want to make sure that we take away efficiency from creativity as sort of being synonymous and making sure that we understand that for things to be really creative and innovative and fun and exciting and fresh and sexy, they have to be chaotic.
A new organization was sexy.
That's right. Sexy.
You're absolutely right. We work with a lot of kids, and a lot of times kids like to display things, and that helps them be creative. But artists love things out. And I am not doing my job if I try to put an artist or someone that's creative in a box. And so what you're saying is right on. And if I were going in to work with you to create some organizational systems, the last thing that I would ever want to do would be to take down your sketch pads and the things that you have up and out for you to see.
But now he likes clutter, so he probably would never call you.
Right.
But if he did call you, right. How would you know how to proceed, either of you?
We have a needs assessment questionnaire that starts at one, and that gets him thinking, and that gets me seeing what he's thinking. And then we do the on-site assessment where we walk the space.
Yep. And I would say that, yes, asking those important questions, clients need to come to us because they're having pain, mm-hmm. because they're saying, this clutter is stressing me out. It's not working for me. And I would say to the caller that
he doesn't need you.
No.
He has a system,
right.
And it works for him. So we would not want to change that.
Mike, are you a PC or a Mac?
I'm both.
Ah, which, okay, how do you do that? Do you find, Tim, that people who are Mac-based versus PC-based are either more creative or more or organized in a different way?
It is still true that Mac users tend to be in a more creative field, but that is changing. I have a lot of businesses that are starting to use Macs to run Microsoft Outlook. You know, they're still running Microsoft products in many cases. Mm-hmm. I am also both a Mac and a Windows user.
Okay. Mike, thank you for your call, and thank you for your support.
Great point, though.
Let's go to Tony in Charlotte. Welcome, Tony.
Hi, Mike. I support being completely organized. I'm maniacally OCD, and I've taught myself how to map a network drive on all of my company computers, and by putting a flash drive on my router, I have managed to make sure that every computer in our office has a drive that I can keep organized on my own.
Wow.
Wow.
I don't even know what he's talking about.
He has created his own Dropbox.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
And why have you gone to this great length? Just because you're an organizational freak?
I'm absolutely an organizational freak, and that way everybody can access any document in that drive, and they don't even know that that drive is on the internet. They have no idea where I put it.
They do now.
No.
Where did this idea come from? Because this seems to be pretty out there in terms of organization.
Everybody kept asking me if I had Dropbox, and every time I would go to some network-based software, they wanted to charge me. Uh-huh. And I run a small company. We can't afford that. And I kept thinking, I can do this myself. And I found a wonderful tool on Windows that said Map Network Drive. And I found that I could do that by finding the IP address of my own router that I could hook up a drive and access it anywhere on the internet.
We may come back to that little piece of information in a second after the break. We have to take a break. Tony, thank you for your call. I appreciate it because I've heard of Map Network Drive. I have no idea what it means. Maybe we'll find out when we come back. Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Dr. John Powderly at Carolina Bio-Oncology Institute in Huntersville, a cancer therapy and research center specializing in clinical trials for metastatic cancer. CarolinaBioOncology.org. The White House and Democratic lawmakers have vowed to introduce gun control legislation a month after the mass shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School. A panel will join Diane Rehm to talk about prospective new actions and whether the momentum for change is slipping already at 10 o'clock in 20 minutes on The Diane Rehm Show. And if you'd like to join our conversation about getting organized in every way, 704-926-WFAE. That's 704-926-9323, 1-800-603-WFAE, or every other way imaginable online at WFAE.org/Charlotte Talks. We're coming right back.
Three lives can be saved from one pint of donated blood. WFAE is helping to meet the blood needs of our neighbors by partnering with the Community Blood Center of the Carolinas. We're hosting a blood drive at our studios in the University area on Wednesday, January 16th from 11 to 1. To schedule an appointment, go to WFAE.org and click on the events button at the top of the page.
It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about organization and decluttering, both in the analog and digital worlds, with Tim Hatton, who's president of Hatton Tech, and STEP Organizer for Simplicity, and Angie Matson, Chief Efficiency Officer for Your Organized Guide. What is Your Organized Guide?
Your Organized Guide is a consulting firm where we help small business owners first.
So it's the name of the firm. It's not a publication.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep. It's the name of my company.
Okay.
And we help business owners get out of overwhelm. We bring sanity back to their workday by teaching them better organizational skills. We highlight the best and highest use of their time, and then we show them how to delegate everything else to somebody else.
I'm curious, from both of you who deal with clients and who deal with the physical world of organization, what the recidivism rate is. In other words, once you go in and do what you do, and you set them up and you put them on the straight and narrow, mm-hmm. how many of them fall off the wagon?
Well, it's like anything. It has to be maintained. We always say, oh, there's a clutter back guarantee. If you don't work the system and stick to a plan, the clutter will come back. And that's where we have to be very honest with our clients and hold them accountable, but be there for them to guide them. But at the end of the day, we leave. Mm-hmm. So I'll come and work in your home, but I'm not living with you. I'm not coming back every day. We do have clients that we will work with weekly, monthly, quarterly, that do need us there to help maintain the structures in place. Others don't. So again, it really depends on the person and their ability. Hopefully we've put a system in place that they will be able to maintain if they do the work.
Mm. When I worked for a large broadcasting organization, we had IT guys, and they were fiercely protective of what was then becoming a computerized world. It wasn't quite what it is today when I was there, but they were fiercely competitive on what you could put on your personal computer at your desk and what access you had to the things that were on the network. Is that still the case, and is that because you are fiercely organized and you don't want people to screw it up?
I think a lot of it has to do with fear of the unknown. You know, if people can put anything on their computers, what vulnerabilities are they opening up? What security breaches are right around the corner? Mm-hmm. Any software that goes on your computer has to be maintained. Every software vendor puts out security patches, and the more you have, the more you have to look out for.
Right. I want to get back to this map network drive thing that one of our callers was talking about. I think it was Tony was talking about this, and he uses it as his personal Dropbox. It's a function within the program Windows. Talk to me about it. I don't even know what question to ask. I'm too dumb.
Sure. Most of the customers we work with would have probably used a file server. You can take a thumb drive or an external hard drive and attach it to many routers that are available today as a way of sharing that information with everybody on your network. Most businesses tend to gravitate more toward a file server. The advantage of a file server is that server itself gives you a means for completing backups. And the server does other things, mm-hmm. other jobs on the network, maintaining security, maintaining usernames and passwords.
Is there a version of that for Mac?
Apple does make servers. That is probably not their specialty. I have several all Apple customers that still depend on Windows or Windows servers or what's referred to as a NAS, a network attached storage device.
Now let's get back to these cloud devices. Donna on Facebook says Dropbox, for instance, is awesome. I agree with her. And so is Evernote. I really agree with that, which is a note-taking server. But you can put everything in Evernote. You can do pictures and sound files and typing, and you can do it from any device. And you can access it from every device. But things like iCloud or SkyDrive or Dropbox or Google's cloud storage system, which has a name too, are they all created equal? Or do you really have to know about them to know which one is the right one for what you want to do?
It takes some work to figure out which one is going to be right for you. They are not created equal. They all have very different features. Google Docs, the strong point is collaboration. Dropbox, the strong point is simplicity. One called Spider Oak or Voila, the function...
Voila.
Is it V-O-I-L-A?
No, it's W-U-A-L-A. Voila.
It's anglicized. Okay.
Yes. And, those services, the feature is security. They have what's called a zero-knowledge policy, which means they cannot even see your files. They are so secure. So they could leave the door wide open. People could walk away with the files, and they're encrypted.
Wow. But in Google, who should be working in Google Docs and who should not? Because, Google says their philosophy at the start was, I think it was do no harm, wasn't it? Or don't be evil or something like that. But now they've gained this reputation for maybe being so. Are they secure? Can Google see your stuff? Can other people who are hackers get into your Google Docs? Is it secure? Who should lawyers, should accountants, should people who need to have secret files be using those services?
You kind of asked a couple questions here. Should lawyers, should healthcare providers be using these services? The answer to that is probably not. HIPAA requirements have a very, very specific set of requirements. There are certain levels of encryption and certain standards that must be met for HIPAA requirements. But the answer is, can the average person use Google Docs and depend on it for security? I believe so. I would not use it as a place to store Social Security numbers, credit card numbers, secure financial or personal health information. But it is a great collaboration tool for the things that people do most of the time.
Okay. And in terms of backup services, because you want to declutterize your computer, you want to back up some of your files and maybe put them in archive format or something, whatever. What do you suggest for backing up? Do you suggest going out and buying an inexpensive external drive, plugging it in when you need it, or leaving it plugged up and when it's full, putting it on the shelf and buying another one? Or do you suggest using the cloud for those kinds of things?
Well, many of the services we've already discussed do provide backup services. But
they're out there in the world.
That's right. And there are another one that we haven't mentioned is Carbonite. Their focus is just on backups and not necessarily on sharing information. Mm-hmm. But my recommendation is a combination of both. If you have a total systems failure, you have a huge benefit by having a backup on a local hard drive. You could restore all of your data in an hour or two, as opposed to if you had to download all of your computer files from an online service, could take days, weeks, or months.
Wow. Leslie on Facebook says, how do I get 12-year-olds organized for school? I keep trying with my son, but he comes home daily with a disorganized mess.
We hear this a lot. We have a program for Simplicity Teens and Simplicity Kids that we specifically work with kids. It is a fine art to get parents and kids on the same page at home, within the backpack, within the locker, within the desk at school as well. With the kids, much like the artist that called in, you need to make sure that you understand how your child's brain works, meaning do they need stuff displayed? Do they need stuff categorized out? Talk to your child and ask the questions, what can we do to set you up for success? How do you need your workspace at home, your study space to look? How do you need things in your backpack?
I wouldn't know how to answer that question. How do I need?
Well,
and how do you know that I need? How would I know that my clutter is because of a need or not, or because of laziness or incompetence, as the emailer
Well, sort of the root of all evil, again, is going to be probably a lack of routine. Mm-hmm. With kids, they really need structure and routine. And sometimes we'll sit down with families and we'll coordinate a family meeting and we'll help set up routines. We'll even post it in the kitchen, in the bathroom, in their bedroom, around the house so people can stay on track. And for some people, they think, well, that sounds kind of silly. Well, you know, is it? It if it helps end a problem in the home, I think it's good use of time and space and effort.
As Ann's been talking, you've been nodding in agreement with much of what she said, Angie.
Yeah. You know, 12-year-olds sometimes aren't taught organizational skills either. Yeah. And imagine if you put your child through a program like Simplicity has, you could prepare them so well for the future, for high school, for college, for their own working time as an adult. And, you know, kids are wildly creative. Include them in the process.
They
love
it.
Maybe, you know, we use a bunch of different colors for your backpack. And so, you know, Monday is red and Tuesday is blue. And, you know, just let the kids be involved.
One of the women on our team has an extremely creative daughter. She talked with her daughter. Her daughter was having some issues in her desk at school. She drew out a map of where things were in her daughter's desk, and she taped it to the desk for her daughter. And the teacher has been blown away by the success that that's helped her know where to put things back kind of structurally within the desk. Mm-hmm. And she has a list of the day of what's coming next on her desk, so she knows what to prepare for next, what's coming. So it's, again, it's creating a plan and making a map.
You know what I'm hearing from all three of you as we have this conversation? It's just all boils down to a system.
Yes.
And
yes.
There is no one system.
No.
And it doesn't have to be a system that you learned at the Wharton School of Business.
No.
It can be your own
no.
personal system.
Yes. You just don't want to try to put a round peg into a square hole. You know, the mom can't force her kid into her system. It has to be the kid's
how
system.
How do you deal with this? Because you deal with clients who have their own system. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And you have to convince them that perhaps this system, the one that you're working toward, might be better suited for them. How do you all get together and speak the same language?
We don't ever want to push a system onto a client. Our job is to empower them to figure out what system will work for them. So my job is to help you figure out this works for me and that doesn't. And so then I'm going to come back and say it involves a lot of listening on my part, but a lot of prodding of questions to get you to give me the information. I'm listening. And then hopefully, again, if I'm doing my job right, I'm really listening and keying into what you're saying. And I'm thinking, he needs this stuff set off to the left. He works more to his left. Mm. He needs that displayed. He's shuffling over here for that. He needs that out and to his right.
You work with small to medium-sized businesses, Tim, on computer organization and things like that. But not everybody can afford you. Not everybody has access to you. We had one caller who was a small business owner and couldn't afford even to have cloud storage. That's why he developed his own Dropbox, essentially.
Sure.
Are there ways that people can figure out how to do what it is you recommend to your larger clients on their own? You're going to talk yourself out of business here.
No, absolutely. I mean, the idea of staying organized, keeping your email organized, keeping your file systems organized, that's something that everybody can do. And that doesn't cost money. It takes time. And, you know, there are cloud services out there that are either free or very inexpensive. Many are less than $5 per month. So there's a lot that businesses can do and stay on a budget.
We had a caller who I was just about to take, but they went away. But they wanted to talk about how to organize old family photo albums and what are the best practices for sharing them. And I wanted to talk about digital photography and digital photographs because I'll bet you that at home, at least, that's what's on people's computers to the greatest degree. Thousands and thousands of photographs.
Yes. Yes, we get a lot of those calls.
How do you organize the physical photo albums and the physical photo collection? And if you want to share it, do you scan it in and then put it on, Snapfish or whatever the heck it's called? What do you do?
We have a ton of clients that first come to us saying, okay, and depending on their age and where they are in life, they're going to have all photos. They're going to have a mix of photos and digital photos, you know, the hard photo. With the photos, if they're in one big box, you basically it's going to hurt for a little while because you're going to have to pull them all out. And you're going to – if you want to do this, you know, let's do this. You're going to have to pull them all out, and you're going to have to sort them however you need them sorted, by year, by child, by subject, by holiday, by trip, whatever. Again, how you think. And then you'll drop them out. We would use a clear bin, and we would label that bin for what it is, and we're going to go through that big box photo by photo by photo and dish it into the smaller boxes. And then you can either take them to a service and have them scanned in and put them on disk. And then it's up to you what you choose to do with them next. Now, we can also help you go that next step.
But digital photography has opened the door to a nightmare, because when you took pictures on film, you were more judicious about what pictures you took because it cost money to develop them. Now, the rule of thumb is just take the pictures and then edit from your smart card or whatever the heck it's called. What's it called, Tim?
The SD card.
The SD card. Thank you very much. Or just stick it on your hard drive and someday you'll get to it. Like, I have lived in this world for a very long time. I have 700 record albums, vinyl, and I have thousands of CDs, thousands of them, and more VHS tapes than I can count. And I bought a little program to convert those VHS tapes to DVDs, and I did exactly one. And then I thought, when will I ever watch this again? Why am I doing this? And to do all this conversion would take the rest of my life. So, I mean, is there a help me here. I'm drowning. Should I just give up?
No, I think you should decide first what's important to you and then create a plan to begin working on these things. Maybe it's a half an hour a day. Maybe you get somebody else involved with you and you work on it an hour a weekend. Or at some point, you just look at it and you say, you know what? I don't care about moving all these VHS tapes over to DVDs. It's not important. And you give yourself permission to let go of that project. Go.
And then do you throw away the VHS tapes? Do you throw away the vinyl?
You can donate.
You can donate
them. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But you get them out.
Yeah. You know, it all comes down to, is this important to me? Is it serving a purpose in my life? And am I willing to give up space in my home for this item?
And Gary, time.
Gary writes, looking back over my life of 63 years, it's shocking just how cluttered our lives have become. The late George Carlin's comedy skit entitled Stuff has come to pass with a vengeance. The only thing we can do is simplify our lives as much as possible. Personally, I have rejected much of the electronic clutter that is coming out on the market. My cell phone is only a phone and nothing more. Don't even mention the iPhone or similar items. I have begun minimizing my time on my computer. We have totally gotten away from the survival mentality that our ancestors had. Not a good omen for the future, in my humble opinion. I really don't think our lives are getting better, only more complicated. And Tony says, recommendation, don't burn precious time futzing around with folders, labels, tags, etc. In Google Apps, you can just produce and create and let things be, then find anything, anytime, in an instant with a simple keyword search. Is that true, Tim?
I agree.
Okay. Tim Hatton is president of Hatton Tech. Ann Stepp is an organizer for Simplicity. Angie Matson is chief efficiency officer of Your Organized Guide. Thank you all.